This capital, this kina, chaf hei. Look, it's hard to talk about each one of these capitals, each one of these kinas. It's another world. But I explain every year, when we, unfortunately, all these years, it's already Tishbe of so many years, that it's not about saying pshatlach and giving a shiur and ideas and concepts. And all of that is limud haTorah, and that's all year round, and I always try Shleishim Yom Kodem HaChag. I always learn the kinas and try to understand the kinas and prepare. That's a limud, and certainly the limud by learning the kinas, it's ma'iras. The more we understand, the more we're able to experience and feel. And in truth, all of the efforts that are being made by Jews all over the world to have different presentations and films and documentaries, and even though when I was growing up, we didn't have that. We said kinas, and we tried to think a little bit. The truth is, when I just looking at my parents, it was enough of a kina for me. That really is how I grew up, and a couple of their friends, that was the kinas that I had. But the truth, all of these are trying to somehow bring us to a place of what this kina of what 25 is about, of this kapitel chaf hei is about. Mi'iten ro'ishi ma'im, which we learned in the Haftarah. Just a few minutes ago in the Haftarah from Yirmiya Navi. Mi'iten ro'ishi ma'im is this stira that we find throughout the kinas, and Yirmiya Navi, all the time Yirmiya Navi. On the one hand, Yirmiya Navi is screaming, if only I could cry. And then the next second he's saying, if only I could stop crying. So we're caught in this strange place of Mi Yiten Ro'ishi Ma'ayim. If only my entire head would just be tears. Mi Yiten Ro'ishi Ma'ayim. If only I could cry in such a way. And then if only I could stop crying. And if I could stop others from crying. Specifically, of course, this kina is for the Jews who were shechted by the Crusades, Nashpira and Vermeisa and Magenza, the three magnificent kehilas who were filled with tzaddikim, tzadkonis, chachamim, chachamais. Each one of the batim of this kapitel of this kina, each one of them begins with this inyan of crying, and then v'damoya tidma eini ve'elcheli stei boichim. If only my eyes would be able to cry in such a way, and I would run away to a field of tears of crying. Like somebody who can't be, he's ashamed, or he's to be among other people when he's crying. And every single bias of this kina begins in such a way. If only I could cry, and if only I could stop crying. So I want to talk about that for a few minutes. There was a story that I told you some years ago, I don't remember when. This maisa, it's very, very posh. It's very simple. There's something about it, and for some reason, I'm pulled back to this story. There's a neighborhood in Yerushalayim that's pretty new. When we lived in Eretz Yisrael, when we went on Aliyah, my father, Olah Shalom, bought an apartment in Beit Vagan. You heard of such a place, Beit Vagan? At that time, Beit Vagan was new. And I remember because where my father bought this apartment, we were able to see from there everywhere, and now it's already all built up, Klein Har. But at that time, everything was new. We don't have the apartment anymore. We sold the apartment. Huh? Yeah, I know. But he didn't want to have to handle with the people, and he wasn't there. But it was a new shchuna. And in the early years of Beit Vagan, they had the schus of having one of the G'dayli Yisrael living there. It was considered like a suburb of Yerushalayim. It wasn't even looked at like Yerushalayim. But one of the great, great Gedolim, Rav Chaskel Avramsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Karsh Levracha, Rav Chaskel Avramsky, after Litta, after being in Europe, after being there, was in London. And from London, he came to spend the last part of his life in Eretz Yisrael. And I don't remember where I saw this in some sefer, I guess about Rav Chaskel Avramsky's life. I don't remember. But Rav Chaskel was walking with a Jew by the name of Naftali Newman, and they were talking and learning. They were walking in Beit Vagan, and people are coming and going, and on the side of the street, there was a little girl who was crying. And everybody was busy, and nobody noticed that this little girl was standing with her head against the wall, and she was crying. And the only one who noticed was Rav Chaskel. So Rav Chaskel went over there with this guy, Newman, and he asked the little girl, "Why are you crying?" So she said, "Because my friend told me that her dress is prettier than my dress." Well, that's something to cry about. In my Baruch Hashem, I have 6 daughters and a lot of dresses. And if a girl is hurt about that, it hurts a lot. So this little girl was crying. And Rav Chaskel said, "Tell me something. Ma karim lach? What's your name?" So she said, "My name is Shifra." So Rav Chaskel said, Shifra is a beautiful name. Shifra means yafa, means beautiful. And Rav Chaskel said that, "I want you to know that you're very, very beautiful, Shifra. You're very pretty." Now Shifra, he said, "Shifra, I want you to go right now. I want you to, not to walk, I want you to run home and to tell your mother that Rav Yecheskel Avramsky told you that you are the prettiest girl in Beit Vagan and that your dress is the prettiest dress in the whole Beit Vagan." And she ran home. She was never happy in her life to tell her mother. And this Naftali that was with him thought it was a little bit of a strange conversation. You know, they were in the middle of saying over something and learning. Rav Chaskel's handling with a little girl about her dress. And he said, "Rabbi, what was the tachlis of this conversation?" I mean, it's a little bit hard to understand why he would have a hard time with it, but you know that type of a person, right? So Chaskel said, "You don't forgive me a mitzvah midaraisa?" So he said, what's the mitzvah? So Chaskel said, "You know, the biggest mitzvah," he said, "the beginning of the Sefer Mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of halacht v'drachav. V'halacht v'drachav, hidabek b'midoisav. V'halacht v'drachav means mahu afato. Our whole tachlis in this world is the Ramak, Talmud Vayr, and Ramchal, and all the tzaddikim tell us that our tachlis in this world is, of course, to draw the light of the Shechina here b'tachtayinim. And the way that we do that is, in this world, to try to be as much like Hashem as we can. Mahu afata. Just as He is, so we should try to be. That's the tachlis of our lives. And there's a midah that Hashem is Baruch revealed to us. And everyone here has unfortunately been to Levayas. And there are a couple of words, there's a pasuk that's mumbled at the end when the masbit is finished. It's usually said very quickly. But think about the words. That we're davening for the day, we're standing here by this levaya, And everybody at the Levaya is crying. And we're davening for that time of Omocha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kalponim. That Hashem will erase the tear, the tears off of the faces of every single person. So if Chazkel said, this little girl was crying, and there's a mitzvah midiraisa of halachta bedrachav, and Hashem revealed to us that He has this midah of erasing Jewish tears. It's a particular type of chesed that gives all of us the ability at some point when we're heartbroken, at some point to be able to stop crying. Or to somehow put the right words in our mouths when we see a friend or a loved one, to say the right words to erase the tears. Everybody here knows there's a ma'isa that Reb Shlomo made very, very famous. He added a little bit and took away a little bit, but the ma'isa is an old ma'isa that everybody knows. And my daughter Shani made a beautiful painting of this story because it's the most beautiful, beautiful story. You know that Reb Yitzchak Vorka and Reb Mendele from Kotsk were the best friends in the world. And you couldn't find two people who were more different than the Kotzker and the Vorka. As Kotzker was an Eish Lahava, was a fire, unforgiving, uncompromising, the Kotzker. And Reb Yitzchak Vorka was Kuloi Ahava, Kuloi Chesed, Kuloi Toiv, Agita Yid, in such a way. And they were the best friends. And we have some interesting stories about their friendship. Reb Yitzchak Vorka died before the Kotzke died. Now, there are different gears of what happened, but you all know the story from a song, and how Reb Shlomo would say over the story. And I think of this painting. So Reb Yitzchak already had left the world, and Shiva had already ended. And the Kotzke was bothered that he hadn't heard from him. It's already after Shiva. And the Kotzke had a way of communicating with the other world. And he missed his friend. And he wanted to know whether he got to where he was going to and how things were in the other world. So the Kotzke spoke to Reb Yitzchak Vorka's son, Reb Mendele Vorka, and he asked Reb Mendele, Gezein, did you see your father? And Reb Mendele Vorka said, I've been trying, but I haven't been able to make contact. So the Kotzke said, I too was trying, and I wasn't able to find him anywhere until last night. Last night, I begged Hashem before I went to sleep. And in my sleep, I had a cholam, a chazoin, whatever that was. And I was able to have an ilias neshama. I went to Shemayim. And I went to different places that I can't describe where I was, and I saw different malachim who were in different hecholas, and I went over to these malachim and I said, Chever, did you see Reb Yitzchak Vorka? And these malachim from that hechol said, Reb Yitzchak Vorka, yeah, we saw him, he was here yesterday, whatever, they said, we saw him, so where is he? I guess they didn't have over there any Waze or GPS or anything that you could put in Yitzchak Vorka. Somebody told me you to have that by cemeteries already, that you could put in the Eretz Yisrael. They have, you could put in the name of the tzaddik and they'll tell you how to get there. But they didn't have that. So the Kotzke, the Malachim said, we don't know. So the Kotzke said, I went to this place, I went to higher Oilemis and Oilem, and he saw, and Tzaddikim, and different Malachim. And I asked, where's Reb Yitzchak Vorka? And they said, Reb Yitzchak was here. He was here, we saw him. Yeah, but where is he? He said, no, he went someplace, we don't know where he is. So you remember the Ma'aseh. So the Kotzke says to Mendel of Urke that I came to a place, a forest, a yahar, a forest. It was a pachet, mamish, a pachet to go through that forest. I can't describe what it was, but somehow I was able to pass through that forest. And there were many, many minias along the way that were trying to prevent me from getting to my friend, to get from Yitzhak Vorka, but somehow I got past the forest. And while I was in the forest, I heard a raj, a noise that I had never heard, such a noise. And then finally, when I got out from the forest, there was a huge clearing, and there was a great ocean, you remember? There was a great ocean. And he said, I never saw such an ocean. It wasn't like any ocean I had ever seen. And this ocean went, and it went higher and higher, and I wasn't able to see how high it went. And on the shore of that ocean was my friend, Rabbi Yitzhak Vorka. And he was sitting on a rock, and had his old shtekel, he had his stick that he had in the world, his cane he had, and he was sitting on that with his chin on the stick. And I went over to him, and I said, Yitzchak, he didn't even look at me. He couldn't take his eyes off of the ocean. And I said, Yitzchak, I've been looking for you. He said, I'm here. And the Kosaka said, where is here? What is this place? Why aren't you with Moshe Rabbeinu, with David HaMelech? Why aren't you with the Baal Shem Tov? Why aren't you? What are you doing over here? He said, they brought me, I was taken to a good place. But I told them that I'm not interested. And they said, in Shemaim, there's the Dinam, and you have to be where you belong. And he said, there's only one place that I belong. And while he's saying this, he didn't take his eyes off of the ocean. He said, you know, Mendele, you know, that while I was in the world, I never ever walked away from a Jew who still had tears on his cheeks, who still had tears in his eyes. I couldn't leave the person. I never walked away from a Jew who was crying. So I was brought to this place. And this ocean is the ocean, of course, of Jewish tears. From the time that Sar Emanuel was crying, because Yitzhak was almost killed. And this is the ocean of tears. And I swore that I wouldn't leave this place until that day of Amocha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kol Pon. The only time that I'm going to leave this place and to go with the other tzaddikim is when there's no longer this ocean of tears. So the whole kinus, the whole Tisha B'av, and there's a continuation, Chelek Beis of last night. Kolu badmois einai, al shever bas ami, that's in Perek Beis in Eicha. Tzoak libo mel Hashem, choymas basi, en hayridi kanach al dima, yoimam v'layla al titni fugas loch. Don't stop crying. The tears have to flow kenachal dimmer, like a river, like an ocean. Yomim v'layla, al titni fugas loch. Don't stop the tears. Al tidoim baseinich. Don't stop crying. Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches. Eini yarda mayim. Eini yarda mayim. It's not just describing the ocean of tears. The Navi is begging Hashem to help him be part of that, to help him pour his tears into that ocean of Jewish tears. Eini, eini, yordomai. Al tidoim basein. Please, Hashem, don't let my eyes stop crying. You remember when Yaakov Avinu didn't know where Yosef HaTzadik was? And it says in Chumash that all the Shvatim came, the children, the Einiklach, the whole family came to bring him the Chama. The Rechaim HaKadosh explains over there that what greater Nechama can there be than to bring the survivors? Those who you have. This is your naches in the world. And it says in Pasuk, Vayimoyin lehisnachem. It doesn't say Veloyoch lehisnachem. It says Vayimoyin lehisnachem. What does that mean? Refused. Vayimoyin lehisnachem. He refused to be comforted. He refused to stop crying. Vayimoyin lehisnachem. And even though they said, but okay, Yosef is not here, but you have children, you have grandchildren, you have a beautiful family, avodim and shvachas, and you're successful, you're wealthy, you have so much to live for, all the things that we try to say when l'oleinu we make a shiva call. These were the shvatim, they knew how to be Menachem Avil. He refused, he couldn't be consoled. But the Rechaim HaKadosh says, it makes no difference how big someone's family is if there's one child who's not there. There's no consolation. So the Gemara says in Pesachim, there's gzera al hameis, sheyishtakach min halev. There's a gzera. The Baruch Shalom made a gzera that when someone dies, sheyishtakach min halev, that those who are alive will stop crying. She's takach man alive. This is a gzeir. So what's vayimoyin lehisnachem? And what's the shiur of time? Gzeir ala mei she's takach man alive. But you know, I know many, many people who never stop crying. I've met over the years and I've seen that. Remember there was a beautiful song from the old Journeys tape, for those who still remember, where there was a grandfather with his grandson on his lap, and he said that there was, and the little boy asked his grandfather, "Why are you crying?" So he said there was a child who was once so sweet and so warm, and he was taken before my eyes, and I was left to mourn. How does it go? What will become of all the memories? Everybody knows that Rav Yoshev, Zechet Sadev, Kodesh Levachet, Rav Yoshev, was I Pasak Pumim Begiris, you never stopped learning. And everybody knows that he had the reputation of appearing to be somebody who wasn't emotional. You know, there's a sefer called Divrei Agada. It's not so easy to get. Divrei Agada, Rav Eliyashiv never spoke publicly. He never darshan. But there's a small sefer of some ha'oris that Rav Eliyashiv made in Agadita. It's a precious sefer, Divrei Agada. And it's like a whole other person that you meet over there. And Rav Eliyashiv in Divrei Agada, I saw years ago, talks about that Gemara of Psachim of Gzeira Alamei Shiyistakech Menalei. But it says by Yankiv Avinu Vayimorin Lesnachem. It means that I will never be consoled. I cannot be consoled. I refuse to be consoled. There is no Nechama. I Gzeira Alamei Shiyistakech Menalei. So Yosef said, and he brought Raya's. I don't remember the Raya's. I don't know what I did with the cipher. I don't know where it is. Maybe I gave it to one of you. I don't know where it is. Rav Yosef says a big chiddush. This gzeira al hamesh yistakech min alev is only when a person died kiderach kol ha'aretz. Not when he was gassed. Not when he was a little kid that died. Not when the Shvatim came back and they showed Yankiv Avinu the Ksoinis Pasim. They showed him the Shmata. And it says in Pasuk Vayikira V'yomer, Ksoinis B'ni, Chayera Achalosu, Ksoinis B'ni. This is the ksinus, this is the clothing of my child. It was torn apart by an animal. Taroif Tairaf Yosef. Of course, deep inside Yaakov Avinu somehow knew that Yosef HaTzadik was still in the world. But Rav Yosef said, and I told this vort over to my father, Allah Shalom. And my father was also one who showed very little emotion. But when I told him this vort from Rav Yosef, I believe that he gave him some nechama. Because I mentioned to you once by Yiska that my parents were here for that Yiska, for that Pesach. Pesach Hashu was never, it was a Yiska, and we came home. And my father didn't come to Kiddush. He wasn't by Kiddush. And we were waiting for my father to make Kiddush. And my mother said, go see if everything is okay with Daddy. What's wrong? Now, truth be told, that if anybody was ever in the Beis HaKiseh for more than 2 minutes, my mother would send somebody to check if everything is okay. And I grew up with my mother banging on the bathroom door. Are you okay? Are you okay? Which was embarrassing, especially if I had some friends over or something. But my father wasn't in the Sherut team, was not in the Beis HaKiseh. My father was, I went around the house, my father was in the basement. And I remember like yesterday. He was crying. And I never saw him like that. I said, "Daddy, what's the matter?" And he wasn't happy that I came there. And he said, "Tell him to make kiddush, not to worry, I'm okay. Go make kiddush. You make kiddush." I said, "What is it, Daddy?" He said, "It's so long since my parents were killed. I don't always remember what my mother looked like. I'm not sure I can remember what she looked like. I can't stand it. I don't know when I'm thinking of my brothers. I don't remember everything. I'm forgetting what they look like." So I said, "Daddy, it's not possible. You don't forget. You didn't forget that. There's a lapse of memory, but you don't forget that. I'm sure you're not forgetting that. You're upset or something, having a lapse of memory." My father said, "Yeah, but it's a gzera l'maaseh yishtakech min aleihem." But isn't it a gzera that a person forgets? It's already 70 years. Isn't it a gzera? It's a gzera that a person forgets, but I don't want to forget. So that's with Rav Yoshev's chiddush, which I shared with my father. I said, "Daddy, Rav Yosef taught that gzera l'maaseh yishtakech min aleihem is only when people died in a regular way on their beds at night. It's not the way that your parents died. It's not the way that my grandparents died." And he was saying, "No, it's how they died." So gzera l'maaseh yishtakech min aleihem is only when it's kederach kol haaretz. But for Jews who were killed, for Jews whose bodies haven't been found yet, I don't know how many, if there are still Jews, I don't know what the cheshbon, I don't know what happened at the end over there in Florida. I mean, most of the people that died weren't Jewish. But I don't think they found, right? I don't know if they found every single one of the Mason. But Rabbi Yosef said, and I'm sure that he meant to give chizik to that generation. I mean, he himself, of course, didn't go through the war. But he said that when Yaakov didn't have the body, there was no guf, there was no mace, there was no matzeva, there's no kvura, there's no nechama. Because when the Navi says, "Rabbi Yishlan, help me cry," he was saying the same thing my father was saying, that yontif in the basement, is that I don't want to stop crying. I want to remember. And I'm crying because I'm not sure that I remember. And it hurts me if I can't remember what's happened to me. In the entire Torah, there are only a few places in all of Tanakh where the Torah, where Tanakh, Torah tells us what is the greatness of a person. Though there are many, many things that make a person great. In every mitzvah, in every piece of Torah, in every midah tova. It says by Yitzchak Avinu, Vayigdal, but that's talking about his maturing, and also it means that he became very wealthy. But there's one person. Where it says Beferish Chumash, Vayigdal, and it's not talking about getting older or getting richer. It's talking about godless, the godless for that mensch. Who's that? Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chava, what was the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Elecha. Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Elecha, Vayar B'siv Loisam. Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Elecha, Vayar B'siv Loisam means that the one place where the Baruch Shalom is a Megala, the greatest godless of a Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu. There are many things you could say about Moshe Rabbeinu. But when it says in Chumash, the godless of Moshe, it says, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetzel Elcha, Vayabisiv Loisa. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu saw other Jews who were crying. Chazal say that he said, Chavali Aleichem. Mi'itein Moshe Aleichem. Moshe Rabbeinu lived in a palace. Moshe Rabbeinu was royalty. Moshe Rabbeinu had everything that a person could want. But Moshe Rabbeinu, like Rabbi Yitzchak Vurka, couldn't bear. And like Rabbi Chaskel Avramsky in Beit Vagan, couldn't stop crying because there were people who were crying. Chavali Aleichem. Mitein Moise Aleichem. Rashi says, No son Eina Velibel Yais Meitzer Aleichem. No son Eina Velibel. When you have a person, and if somebody wants to take anything out of Tisha B'Av, besides stories and memories, to take out of Tisha B'Av is this midah of Amocha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kalpan. Of help me, Rabbi Hashem, help me to be a person who, as long as I see that there's a little girl in Bayit Vagan, or a little boy, or an adult, or whoever it is that's going through difficulties and crying, help me to be a person who will not be able to leave this person until that individual stops crying, and I can't stop crying until Amocha Hashem Elokim Dimi Me'al Kalpan. And there are great people that you and I have met who are like that, who leave the comfort of their homes, who could have things very, very nice and very, very easy. It says at the end of Mishpatim, when they went up to Har Sinai, Moshe and Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, the Zakenim, it says, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. Now, of course, it doesn't mean to see Hashem is Baruch, but they had the highest imaginable vision of Hashem. Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. So if we just said that the greatest thing you could say about Moshe Rabbeinu was Vayigdal Moshe v'yetzel lecha. Or like Rabbi Yochim used to say, that a Jew is margish, that a Jew feels another Jew, what another Jew is feeling. La hargish zezeh. So what's the godless of Hashem is Baruch? There are many things you could say that makes Hashem great. Godel gibe v'noyim. Says in Pasuk v'yus, Elokei Yisrael, v'zachas raglov k'maisi, livnes ha-sapir, u'che'etzem ha-shamayim l'toyar. They had a vision, they saw Hashem is Baruch. You remember he had under his feet, whatever that means. Of course, it's an Indian in Ruchnias, but he had under his feet Brother Kisei HaKovet, whatever. He had this sapphire brick. Livna sasapir, v'cheetzem ha-shamayim latoya. A sapphire brick that was shining like that sky by Yitzhak Vorkir, by the ocean of tears. It was shining. And Rashi says, he oisilofonov b'shas ha-shibud. So probably they asked Rabbi Yisholem, what do you have over there by your feet? Again, that's not physical, but this inyan. What do you have over there by tachas ravel? What do you have over there by your feet? A brick. So everybody knows, you all know the Rashi says from Chazal. He hoisilofonov b'shas ha-shibud, that through all of the years of our slavery, Hashem Yisboch kept this brick. Lizkot serosu sheyisel sheyim shubodim b'mayisel levein. Kivyochel. To feel the misery of his children, what they had to go through, and he knew that they had to go through that. But to feel the misery and the pain of the Maisa Levainim of Jews who were being, like I mentioned last night, tachas, crushed under the pyramids. The Maisa Levainim were making bricks to build pyramids for Paro and for Mitzrayim. So Tisha B'Av Tavshin Pei Aleph, we need to daven to be like Yaakov Avinu. We need to daven to be like Rav Chaskel Avramsky. We need to daven to be like my father. We need to daven to be like the Rebbeinu Shloim. To never stop crying as long as there are others who are crying. To be able to cry. To be able, as we learned last night, that even Rabbi Yossi had to go out like the Eish Kodesh, the Pesetzner said, to go out from his own tears, you remember? To be able to go into Churvas Yerushalayim, to go and enter into the ruins of somebody else's life. And to go deep into the ruins of someone else's life. Do you know how many of us are sitting and how many years we live in the same home, a wife, children, a husband, children of Yezoicha, and we don't even see the tears on our own children's faces. We don't even hear how our own children forget about other people, other children. And that only years later the child says, when they're adults, they'll say, do you know how I felt growing up in the home with you? Do you know how much I wanted you to tell me something? Do you know how much I wanted you to show me a certain type of love and you never did? Do you know how much I missed that? Do you know how much it could have done for me in my life? Do you know how much I could have grown from that, from your sharing certain things with me, from your talking to me a certain way? But you were too busy. You couldn't put your phone down for a minute. Did you ever see the tears that were on my face? Bochei Sivka Belayla Demos Halachia, did you ever see? The two people go together, husband and wife, to a therapist, and they're talking to the therapist, and she's pouring her heart out, and he's saying to her, how come you never told me? She said, what do you mean? I'm telling you that for the last 30 years. You never ever saw. You never heard me crying. You never heard the Bochei Sivka Belayla. In Esther Farbstein's book that I mentioned last night, Hidden in the Heights, the Seser Elyon, over 1,000 pages on the destruction of the Jews of Hungary. So she brings here from a Jew, Azviel Mordechai Schwartz of Beriksaz. And this Jew, Schwartz from Beriksaz, who was in Auschwitz, he wrote a book called Leman Tizka. And in this book, Leman Tizka, this is real Mordechai Schwartz, is describing the feelings of watching his father die. With him in Auschwitz. And this is what he wrote. Listen, Chev. I should have been attached to him, to cry, to shed a river of tears for the father who was no more. Instead, the opposite was happening. Couldn't cry. My tears waited more than 50 years, and now they are flowing. That's what I believed happened to my father in the basement that day. The stone in my heart has thawed and become a heart of flesh. My brain has perceived and now understands that that moment when I found out that they had taken my father was no less dreadful than the moment when Mengele separated us from my mother and the children. Feelings went away and only horrors were implanted in us. They killed our souls. The Nazis killed our souls. Our prayers and slichas, Al tashlicheini milfonecha, v'ruach kodshecha al tikach mimeni. Do not take your ruach hakodesh from us. Did not pass through the gates of heaven. Our tefillas growing up in slichas, v'ez ruach kodshecha al tikach mimeni. Those tefillas were not heard, this Schwartz says. In other words, what he was explaining was that the worst thing that happened to us is that the Germans, Yamach Shemam, killed our souls. They took away from us this Ruach HaKodesh that would give us the ability to cry, to feel that pain, to be able to think, not to be numb. Al tashlicheni milfanecha v'ruach kodshecha al tikach mimeni. That Ruach Kodshecha that a Jew has, and that she brings from Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel, too, was haunted by not having mourned for his father. And Elie Wiesel wrote, "In all rivers run to the sea," I'm sure many of you read. These are Choshevah books. I was 16 years old when my father died. I no longer felt anything. Someone had died inside of me, and that someone was me. I couldn't cry. My heart was broken, but I had no more tears. I couldn't cry. You know when Elie Wiesel began to cry? So I just saw Friday night in Karvei Lecha that you gave me, the Karvei Lecha that you printed for me, that Elie Wiesel, back in the 1950s, he went for the first time to have yechidus with Lubavitch Rebbe Slusi Yelein. And he went into the Rebbe. In those years, you were able to have yechidus, and they were talking. And he said what he had gone through in his life, where he was during the war, and the Rebbe asked him different questions, who he came from in the family, and of course, what he was about in his life, and so on. And then the Rebbe, they were quiet, it says. And then the Rebbe asked him, "Is there something that I could help you with? Is there something that I could do for you, that I could help you with?" And Elie Wiesel told the Rebbe, he said, "No. Rebbe, thank you, I don't need anything. I got a job." By that time, he already got married, I believe. "I don't need any help." says they were quiet. But, you know, you couldn't pull anything over the Rebbe's eyes, you know that. And the truth is, you didn't have to be Lubavitcher Rebbe to figure it out. And the Rebbe asked them again, tell me, what is it that I could do for you? So he said, Rebbe, there is something you could do for me. I don't know how to cry anymore. Rebbe, could you give me back the ability to cry? Could you do something about that? I can't cry. I haven't cried since before the war. I can't cry. Could you help me cry? So the Rebbe began to cry. And then we just helped him out to cry. He said, I've given you the ability to cry again. But the Rebbe said, use it well. Write, teach, help Jews feel for each other, cry for each other. So if the Baruch Shalom has such a midah of a Mach HaShem, can we believe it? A Mach HaShem can dim Mach HaLpad. And even Yaakov Avinu couldn't stop crying. It must be that the Baruch Shalom also doesn't stop crying. And that's what we were learning last night. We can't understand it. We can't fathom it because he's infinite in his tears. We don't hear. We don't feel. And it hurts us so much if we knew that Hashem is crying with us. If you and I could see that brick, because Hashem has a memento from each of our lives that's under his feet, not just from its tribe. He has from each one of you under his feet. The Baruch Shalom keeps something from our lives to not stop crying over what we're going through until the ocean of tears is dried up. Therefore, on Tisha B'Av, we have to ask Hashem. I read to you last Tisha B'Av some tefillahs from this Talmud Chacham. Azor li leschar b'letzar ha'ish yishali. First of all, Baruch Shalom, help me to feel my own pain. What Elie Wiesel was telling the Rebbe is that he was saying that I'm numb. I can't feel my own pain. If he couldn't cry over his father dying, because he can't feel his own pain. That's the worst thing. When you become a Lev Evan. So, Kodem Kol Azor Li Leschar B'Letzar Ha'Ishi Shali. First, Baruch Shem, help me to connect to my own Tzar. How far I am from you. How my davening is not davening. How I'm betaming myself a million times with a million stupid things. How much tzar I cause the Shechina with my Lashon Hara, with my Rechilas, with all my Aveiros. Help me to feel your pain. Help me to feel my pain. Azor l'schar b'letzar ishi shali. Help me to feel the pain that when I hear the news that they're shooting bombs into Eretz Yisrael, and not just to say, oh, Baruch Hashem, nobody was killed today. You know how many children that they can't sleep at night because they're in some miklat someplace, and they go their whole lives completely traumatized because of not being killed. Because of not being killed. And now all the families from Meron, now that all the newspaper articles are done and they put up some memorials and everybody made a big thing, but they're still passing by empty rooms. What's the matter with us that we don't feel this? The Baruch Hashem wants us to feel this. We have to ask the tzaddikim to help us cry. To help us be Jews that have a lev basa, fleishige hearts. These days of the 3 weeks of Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Shalom, you're calling upon me. You want me to feel pain. Not to be depressed, chalila. That's not what we're talking about. Bechi shel tikva, I'll talk about that at the end. Tears of hope. When you cry with another Jew, and you show that Jew that it hurts you, that his pain hurts you, You give him the ability to start again. You help him to have hope. Because if my pain means something to you, it means that you love me, it means you care about me. And that's what it means to go to a shiva. Not statues and memorials, that's not what does it. It means that you love me. And my pain, the fact that I'm sitting shiva, I never knew what that was until I sat shiva. So I met all the years doing mitzvah, I went to shiva. But when you yourself are doing that and you see somebody walks in, I'm here looking at my dearest friend Shmuel, so long you heard, he came from Eretz Yisrael, he came off the plane from Eretz Yisrael. Shlomo Katz came from Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean only the chaver that came on the plane and came from Eretz Yisrael to make a shiva call. To all the chaverim, and I never thought it was a big deal. And sometimes I would say to my wife, you know, the person barely knows me. And what is it important for me to go to whatever, to Yemensville to make a shiva call? My wife always says to me, listen, Maish, you know, he listens to a shiur or something and he knows you, so it'll make him feel good if you go. So it's back and forth, you know, it's 2 hours. But my wife will tell you that I listen to her. And then, you know, when you walk in, you realize that the person looks up and there's a certain light in his eyes or in her eyes, and says, it was nice that she came. So, Maish, what are you going to pay us a big shiva call? If you have such a midah, v'mach Hashem l'kim dimmach upon him, and it says, v'mach Hashem l'kim, not just Hashem, yukevavke, which means the rachim, Hashem l'kim, Yitzchak Avinu is the midah sadin. And when Esav, he gave Yankim the broch instead of Esav, and Esav is crying, right? V'yisav kol v'yev. So it says that Yitzchak Avinu gave him a broch. A father can't sit and watch even Esav, who's a reitzeach, who's a menai, from a zana, an oivet of an azara. But a father can't sit and watch a child cry. And even Esav, Yitzchak Avinu, says, call him a yech, and then Yitzchak Avinu gave him a bracha. So how can a father sit for so many thousands of years and watch so many tears, ocean of tears? How long? So I have to give a big hashakarach to the Baal Shachris. To Eliyahu, I want to tell you why. Please don't be embarrassed. Is Eliyahu still here? Yeah? I want to give you a big yashakayah. Because he made such a beautiful mistake in Yid Avening. I'm the only one. I'm not a Baldiktik. Maybe there's some others, you know, I'm not a Yak, I'm a Hungarian. But could be there was some Baldiktik that it was a slight mistake, Eliyahu, that you made by Shemenez or by Chazal Seshaz. Am I the only one that caught it? Huh? Melech Oizer, you said, Umashiach Umagein. Yes. So my first instinct was that, like that yeshiva bacher in me, I was going to say, Mashiach. But then I said, no, let it sit like that. I like that. Melech Oizer, Umashiach Umagein. Now, I'm not recommending we start a new movement like that. And Elio, you got to be careful, you know. You get away with it one time. Melech Oizer is Umashiach Umagein. And Moshiach is a good word also. It means to save, to rescue. It's good. But I liked how it sounded. Melech Oizer u'Mashiach u'Magein. Because what that means is that it's been many, many years and we believe that everything is good and Ona Hashem Moshiach na, Hashem is a Moshiach u'Magein. But the time has come already, Rabbi Shalom, it should be Melech Oizer really, really Moshiach u'Magein. Really. That would really be a big yeshua for everybody. And then finally, it's not nice. There would be a tzavorkish, you'd be sitting on a rock, you know, it's not nice for such a long time to be sitting like that. There would be a tzavorkish, you'd be able to go with the other tzaddikim. You should be zarechim mitzvah Hashem for that day when the ocean will be dried up. And we'd be zarechim mitzvah Hashem to go together with that tzaddik and all the tzaddikim. Oz yovu berina, bo yovu berina, noisel the moise of the blush of amitis, amen, v'amein, kinachaf hei.